Okay, so welcome to this evening's shiur. To those of you that are going to be listening to it later on YU Torah, kudos to you. Here we go. So there's a very fascinating and interesting shaila halacha, which has become relatively a shaila halacha, a discussion halacha, over the last 50 to 100 years, although it seems like it's brought down in some of the earlier poskim. And that is what happens if you have somebody from Eretz Yisrael that ends up spending yantiv outside of Israel, so let's say in the United States, or somebody from the United States that ends up spending yantiv in Israel. Well, where's the shaila? The shaila ends up being the following. Because if you think about it for a moment, let's say I leave my home and I travel to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach. Hashem should help us once again be able to go to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach. I go for Pesach and I come there and I start Pesach, you know. Let's say Pesach starts at 10:30 in the morning. At 30 in the morning, Pesach starts. I can't eat chametz. I'm in Israel. Problem is that in the United States at that point, I have chametz. And I may have a whole house of chametz. The Torah teaches us you're not allowed to own chametz. It says, Bal Yiral, Bal Yimot. So you can't have chametz in your property. You can't own chametz. It can't be in your property or your jurisdiction. So I have chametz in my house. So what are you going to tell me? What do you know? Don't worry about it. I sold my chametz. And therefore, the rabbi is going to sell that. And therefore, I won't own it. And therefore, it won't be a problem. No, it is a problem, because if you think about it for a moment, the rabbi probably didn't even sell your chametz. You're probably not going to sell your chametz for another 2 or 3, maybe 4 hours. So for that interim of time, that small lapse of time, when you're already obligated in Pesach and Eretz Yisrael, which is where you are, and your chametz in the United States has not yet been sold if you're selling it with a regular rabbi, could be a violate by your rabbi, by your matzah, having chametz in your property.
But that's not in your, your property anymore. It's not your household.
You own your house. You own your house. Anything that you're not allowed to have chametz. Anything that you own: your office, your car, in your summer home, your beach home, in your house on the French Riviera. Doesn't make sense. You now have chametz.
You're not now, the God's ears.
In addition to that, the question also comes in the flip. Let's say you have a guy from Eretz Yisrael that comes to the United States. So now, first of all, He's okay. I mean, it's chametz that he has in Israel. If he sold it with the rabbi, he's okay. Because the rabbi definitely sold it before it became the time for chametz to be prohibited in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Israel. So that's good. Problem is, what happens when Pesach is over? In Israel, the rabbi that he sold his chametz with purchases back the chametz, let's say an hour after Pesach is over. For that fellow, first of all, if it's not Motzai Pesach, it's not the end of the seventh day of Pesach for another 5 or 6 hours. But even worse than that, there's a whole nother day of Pesach, probably. Achmon Shel Pesach, Israel, the United States, we hold another full day in Chutz La'aretz in the diaspora. So is that a problem? If he owns chametz and the rabbi is purchasing it back for him, so could be he violates that prohibition. So how do we reconcile this? How do we figure this out? What's the halacha in this situation? So this shaila is a very big discussion in the postgame and the halachic decisors, and it really depends on the following logic, and they all speak this out. What is the prohibition of the chametz? Is the chametz a din in the gavra? Translated into English, is the chametz relative to the person? Or is the chametz a din in the chefta? Is the chametz, the prohibition of chametz, about the object itself? That means, do we go after where the person is? Or do we go after where the object is? Or maybe we go after both. So let's just say for a moment, I'm in the United States. My chametz is in Israel. If you say we go after the object of the chametz by definition is where it is. Well, then it's not a problem if they buy back, the rabbi buys back the chametz in Israel and it's sitting in my apartment and I'm in the United States, because where it is, it's not chametz. But if you say it's a din in the gavra, that it's a, if we view the person, chametz is relative to the person himself, well, then for me, where I am, it's still Pesach. So I have to make sure that I have no chametz in my property anywhere in the world. Shiloh, if it's a din in the gavra, if the isra of chametz, or prohibition of chametz, is because of the, it goes after the individual, or does it go after the cheftza, does it go after the actual object after chametz? And there's a fascinating proof to this, brought down in the Sefer Oneg Yantif, I happen to have in my house. And he brings a proof from the Gemara, which I'll tell you my logistical issue with this proof in a moment. But let's first see what the Oneg Yantif says. The Oneg Yantif brings the Gemara and Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara and Maseches Pesachim is talking about a case of a person who ate truma. So you have a non-Kohen who eats truma, right? Truma is the 1/50th that's separated and given to the kohen, and it's prohibited for a non-kohen to eat it. This fellow eats truma by mistake. The halacha is he has to pay back the kohen the actual fruit, the actual grain that he ate. That means to say, let's say he ate 10 apples. So he has to pay back, you know, fruit of 10 apples. So the Gemara there wonders, when he pays back, does he pay back by minyan? Does he pay back by the amount? Or does he pay lefi dami? Or does he pay by the value? That means to say this. When he gives back the amount, does he have, if he ate 10 apples, does he have to give back 10 apples? Regardless of the quality of those 10 apples, they could be really much, much more superior or definitely inferior. But the bottom line is, you ate 10 apples, you give back 10 apples. Or does it go by dummy? No. Let's say the 10 apples that you ate were worth $7.27. You have to give back enough apples that are $7.27. If you're giving inferior apples, you have to give 20 apples. So Gemara wonders if you give lefi dummy based on the value, or lefi mida if you give based on the actual number, the count, measurement of what the person needs. Gemara wants to bring a proof. Gemara there brings a proof from a situation where a guy eats trumas chametz on Pesach by mistake. That means he doesn't know that this is truma. Maybe he doesn't know that it's chametz, or he forgets that it's Pesach perhaps. And he eats it, and he's a non-kohen. So the Gemara says the halacha is he has to pay keren v'chomesh. Halacha is that if a person mistakenly eats stuff that belongs to truma, they have to pay the actual keren, the principal of what it's worth, and they are penalized that they have to pay an additional fifth. Keren v'chom. The Gemara wonders like this. The Gemara says, if you're going to say that when you eat truma, you have to pay back the exact same number of things you ate, it's irrelevant to the value. Well, then if you ate, you know, five truma pieces of chametz, you're going to have to pay back five truma pieces of chametz. But if you say we go by damim, if we say we go by value, chametz on Pesach is valueless. You're not going to have chametz. Aser and hana, you can't derive benefit from it. So it has no value whatsoever. So if so, the fellow shouldn't have to pay back anything. From the fact that we see that you do have to pay back, it indicates to us that it's not dependent on the value of the truma that you ate, but rather on the object. And as long as you ate the object, you're going to have to pay it back. Just like if you ate 10 regular apples, you have to pay back, you could pay back any 10 apples. That's what the Gemara wants to say. Comes along the Ona Yontif. And oh, so that's Gemara's question. And the Gemara says it's not really a proof because maybe the Gemara holds like Rabbi Yossi Haklili. He holds that chametz on Pesach is permissible. In Hana, you're allowed to derive benefit from chametz on Pesach, and therefore it does have value. So therefore, there's no proof. As the owner got this, I'm a little bothered by this because we don't rule like Rabbi Yossi Haklili. Halacha is the chametz on Pesach is prohibited to derive benefit, as we'll see later in the shiur. Gemara remains with a very, you know, very weak answer. So I have a better answer. Why did the Gemara answer? Listen carefully, because this is a really cool way of thinking. Says the Ona Yontif, maybe we're talking about a situation where somebody is in a place where Pesach didn't yet take effect, and his chametz is in a place where already was Pesach. It means to say, let's just say practically, you have a fellow who's in the United States, and his chametz is in Israel, and someone comes along and accidentally eats that chametz of truma in Israel, where it is already Pesach. So what are you going to tell me? That the object has no value? It does have value. Why? Because even though ordinarily chametz on Pesach is prohibited, but this fellow has no prohibition of Pesach. It's not Pesach yet where he is. What are you going to tell me? If so, it's not chametz. No, it is chametz because it's in Israel. So why did the Gemara answer and say, you know when halacha is that you have to pay back? Kobi, we hold really that you have to pay back, and it's dependent on value. We said if it's dependent on value, chametz haPesach has no value. No, maybe we're talking about a very unique situation where you have an individual, and the fellow is in a place where it's not yet Pesach, the United States. Chametz is in Eretz Yisrael where it already is Pesach, and someone comes along and eats his chametz in Israel by mistake. So the guy's gonna have to pay chametz. It is chametz ready. You can't say it has no value to the owner because where the owner is, it's not prohibited yet in benefit. It's not even Pesach. And you'll have to pay the value. The fact that Gemara didn't say that says the Ona Yontif is clear that we don't go after the fellow, we go after the chametz. And since where it is, it's chametz, it's prohibited in benefits. Since it's prohibited in benefits, it has no value, and that's the margin. That still says the owning it. It's a little bit difficult to me, because I think that this is a hard answer to squeeze in. I mean, did the Gemara have situations where people were in different time zones than their chametz? Is that a normal 2,000 years ago? Did they have time zones? I guess they did. They had sunrise and sunset, but it's just such a strange... The Gemara, it seems pretty far-fetched to say that the Gemara should give an answer, that we're talking about a situation where a fellow is in a different time zone than his chametz. It doesn't seem like that was the metzias, that wasn't the normalcy. And whoever said the statement can't imagine that they would even had a practical, you know, situation where somebody was in a different place time zone wise than their chametz. It seems a little bit like strange that, like, you would assume that maybe that's the Gemara's answer. Only get this answer proof is a little bit of a strange proof. But the bottom line is, he proves that we go after where the chametz is and not after the owner. That's what he holds, and that's his opinion. So just to bring it back to the way we initially said it, it's a din in the cheftza, the prohibition of chametz is interdependent on the object. The object is in a place where it's already Eretz Yisrael. The halacha is, it's going to be prohibited. The Sefer Kapos Timarim explains something very interesting. He says a very unique approach to just generally prohibitions. So let's take a step back. If I see a piece of pork sitting on my desk, God forbid, the piece of pork on my desk, is there something intrinsically prohibited about that piece of pork? Or is it just a prohibition on me, the gavra, the individual, to eat it? But there's nothing intrinsically prohibited. It's not full of isser of prohibition. So we know the halacha is that it's a din in the cheftza. Torah prohibitions are halacha that the object itself, if you put on spiritual glasses, you would look at that piece of pork and you would say, wow, it is jam-packed with isser, with prohibition. Says the Kapos Tamarim, even though that is actually the case, that by biblical prohibitions, like pork, a piece of pork, or something, you know, like cheese and milk or something like that, that the actual object is saturated with isser, with prohibition, but that's only by a prohibition that is forever. It means this piece of pork will always be prohibited. There's nothing you could do to kasher. You could shecht it, you could sprinkle holy water on it, you could make a bracha on it, it's still going to be a treifa piece of pork. However, says the Kapos Tamarim, when it comes to Torah prohibitions that are only prohibited for a period of time, like chametz, which is only prohibited for the 7 or 8 days of Pesach, then it's not a prohibition in the cheftza, in the object, it's a prohibition in the gavra, in the individual. One more time. He says, since chametz on Pesach is not permanently usher, biblically it's not permanently usher, it's only usher for the 8 days of Pesach. Therefore, clearly, it's not intrinsically prohibited. So then why can't you have it? Must be it's a law, it's an application on the gavra, on the individual. So he argues, and he says, that you see from this concept or this idea, from this Kapos Tamarim, that things which are time, only limited for time, those are prohibition on the individual and not the object. So if so, it'll follow wherever I am. If I'm in a place where there's a prohibition of chametz, the stuff will be prohibited wherever it is. And if I'm in a place where chametz is not aser, I don't care if my chametz is in the United States, but as soon as Yantip is over in Israel, I'll be okay. That's what the Kapos Tamarim would like to see. And they actually bring a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Aleph Mechametzu Matzah Halacha Zayin, Rambam says, makes the following statement, says the Rambam. He says, second thing that I want to read to you.
You find the paper?
Should be there. Rambam writes, he's speaking about the prohibition of a person eating chametz on Pesach. The Rambam says that, is this Rambam? Back in here? I'll come up in a minute. Oh, here's the Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, the laws of Chametz Umatzah. Says the Rambam. Ha'ocha min ha'chametz atzmei bepesach kol shehu. If a person eats even a minuscule amount of chametz on Pesach, ha'reiz the asr min ha'Torah, it's biblically prohibited. She'nemar lo ye'achel chametz. It says chametz shall not be eaten. And then the Rambam concludes, listen to the Rambam. Even if a guy just eats a tiny little bit of chametz, even though it's prohibited, but he doesn't get karis, which is a premature death, which is the regular prohibition for eating chametz. Or carbon, he doesn't have to bring a sacrifice if he did it accidentally. El al kshir ku kazayis. Unless the person eats a kazayis, an olives worth of chametz, they don't actually get the punishment. Now, so the Rambam is teaching us, you should know like this. It's prohibited to have even a mashu, a tiny drop of but the punishment doesn't come until the fellow eats the food. Ask the Kesef Mishnah, what's the Rambam teaching us? We know the Gemara says, and we rule this way halachically, that chatzi shir asar min haTorah, that less than the regular amount of any type of prohibited object is biblically prohibited. So for example, a person doesn't get lashes until they eat a kazayis, an olive's worth of pork. But if they eat chatzi shir, let's say they eat half an olive, it's still biblically prohibited. They just don't get lashes. Or else we would say, hey, let's go down to the pig shop and let's have a little bit of pig, this much, less than a kazayis, less than an olive. No, that's also biblically prohibited. You just don't get lashes for it. So ask the Kesef Mishnah, what's the Rambam teaching us by chametz? Rambam is telling us that chametz is also even with a drop. Every prohibited object is also even as a drop. Not just chametz and pesach. So what's the Rambam's chiddush? What's the Rambam's novelty? Good question. It's a question of the Kesef. Says the Sefer, Mishnah Halachos, he says like this. The Rambam must learn that is that we say that chatzi shir asa min haTorah, less than the normal prohibited amount is biblically prohibited. I mean, so let's say the shear, the amount for pork is a kazayis. Half a kazayis of pork, we said it's biblically prohibited. However, he says, that is a din in the chefza. Intrinsically, even a minuscular amount of pork is asa. But it's not a prohibition on the gavur. That means to say, it's not sitting on the shoulders of the person that you can't eat it. The point is that it's an object, and the object itself is pork. Now I would say that maybe when it comes to Pesach, it's different. Maybe when it comes to Pesach, the halacha is that it's not a din in the chefta, it's not a din in the object, it's a din in the gavra. Maybe it's a din in the individual. And not just irrelevant of where the object is or how the object is, me as a person, I can't eat it. Therefore, he says, the Rambam says, no, the Pasuk says, lo ye achel chametz. Chametz shall not be eaten. It doesn't say, lo tochal chametz, like it says by every prohibition. The Torah says, don't eat the object. It says that chametz shall not be eaten. As if to say, the object itself is what's written. Not a din in the gavra. It's not, quote unquote, dependent or connected to the individual himself. So it would seem from this Rambam, at least according to the way the Mishnah Halachos learns, that it's a din in the object. And wherever the object is, it's going to be prohibited. But it's not connected to the gavra necessarily to the individual. Interestingly enough, the Sefer Mikra Kodesh, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, he brings the proof a little bit differently from the same pasuk. Pasuk says, "Lo yera'el lecha chametz. Chametz shall not be seen lecha to you." Says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, where does the word lecha come in? There's a Torah prohibition of not having chametz. Chametz shall not be seen. What does it mean, lo yirah lecha, shouldn't be seen to you? Says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank that no. From lecha, the Torah is saying, don't say it's just a din in the chefza, the object. It's perhaps also or just a din in the gavra. Lecha, you. It depends on you, the fellow. So it seems like it depends like the fellow. Not necessarily object. So it comes like we have a bunch of different opinions. Is chametz by chametz to go after the chefza where the object is? And therefore, if it's in Israel, it becomes prohibited, even though I'm in the United States. Or we go after the gavra, after the individual. And since I'm not an Israelite, and it's not Pesach, it's not prohibited. This is a big shaila in Allah. So the Megray Kodesh himself concludes, and he says, kind of wants to make a little bit of a compromise. He says like this. He says that when we speak about the prohibition of deriving benefit, because we know the chametz of Pesach is not just prohibited to eat it, it's not just prohibited to have it, to own it, it's also prohibited to derive benefit from it. Correct? So you can't have a bakery that's open during Pesach, even if you're not going to eat any of it. You have to derive benefit from chametz. Pertaining to the prohibition of deriving benefit, it's a din in the chefza. It's a din, it's dependent on the actual object itself. Don't take benefit from this object. But pertaining to the prohibition of bal yirah, not only chametz, not having chametz in your property, that's an iser gavra. That depends on the individual. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Moshe also says like this. Rav Moshe adds one thing onto this. Rav Moshe says if you have a person that's in the United States and his chametz is in Eretz Yisrael, you're right. He agrees that a person doesn't violate bal yirah as long as he's in the United States. Like we just said a moment ago, because it depends on the individual. since the individual is not an Israelite, he's in the United States, it's not yet Pesach. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein says you're still not allowed to derive benefit from that chametz. So this is a classic case. You have a fellow that is, his chametz is in Israel, and he's in the United States. He meets his friend in the morning. He says, by the way, you know, I just bought recently, for very cheap, $1 a pack, you know, I bought these chocolate-covered cookies. Want to buy them? The guy's like, it's almost basic. He goes, yeah, so what? You'll sell it to the Rav. And he wants to sell it. Even though the fellow doesn't violate by Rav for having that chametz, however, at the same time, he's not allowed to derive benefit from it, and he would not be allowed to sell those chocolate-covered cookies that are in Eretz Yisrael. And he brings a proof of this. He says the halacha is that the chametz that belongs to a cheresh, a shota, or a katan. A cheresh is a deaf mute. A shota is a person who's not 100% mentally capable. And a katan is a child. All of them, when they have chametz, own chametz, they don't violate a prohibition. They're not held accountable. It's a child. It's a deaf mute. Halachically, is not, and a person who's not 100% in control of their mental capacity is also not obligated. Nevertheless, they become asur and hana even after Pesach. So we see from this that even though there may not be a prohibition of bal yira, of owning, of having chametz, but you still pertaining to the isur of hana, of having benefit from it, that's asur because that's a din in the chefta, that's in the optic, and therefore will be even asur after prohibited after Pesach. So therefore comes out of this. If a person is an American and he's spending Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, great place to spend Pesach. Like we said before, may Hashem help us all go back very quickly. So we have a guy who lives in the United States and he's in Eretz Yisrael for Pesach. And his chametz is in the United States. Rav Mizlachayra, the fellow, cannot acquire back his chametz in the United States while he's still in Eretz Yisrael. Again, he's in Israel. His chametz is in the United States. Now, he sells his chametz with the rabbi in Israel. The problem is that as soon as Pesach is over in Israel, it's still Pesach in the United States for 6 hours and a whole nother day. So even though maybe he doesn't violate a prohibition of owning chametz, but he's definitely not allowed to have benefit from that chametz, like we said before, because there's a prohibition to derive benefit, even if it's not a din in the gavra, the individual, it's a din in the chefta. And Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rishon Mazalman concur with this as well. And they say, if this does happen, a person, you're not supposed to have enough, but if a person did, he left chametz in his property in the United States, halachas will be permitted for the person. And actually, there was a very famous case in Eretz Yisrael a bunch of years ago of a grocer, a sweetheart, nice grocer, and the grocer was in the United States for Pesach, and he had a store in Israel, grocery store with a bakery in it actually, and Matzah Pesach, the bakery opens. He has a partner, by the way. The partner goes into the bakery, and the store opens up, starts producing bread, and it's 50% owned by the guy in the United States. Well, for him, it's still Pesach. So people came running to the rabbi and they heard, they said, Rabbi, I have a loaf of bread that I bought last night from this fellow. He's in the United States, so it's still Pesach for him. It's chametz shabar olam haPesach. It's like chametz that someone owns chametz on Pesach. You know, I have benefit from that. Rabbi, what do we do? So the rabbanim, you know, were talking about the shiloh lot. Otherwise, the halacha they passed him, that even though he shouldn't have done it, but since he did it actually, we're going to let the fellow... we're going to let the people use the chametz that they that this fellow owned, and it's not chametz of Pesach, and they're okay with using it. Now, so I just want to kind of wrap things up and tell you halacha l'maisa, practically, how we rule in this situation. So like this. Number one, if a person from the United States sells his chametz to a rav in Israel, he has to make sure that he tells the rabbi, when you buy back all the chametz after Pesach, don't buy my chametz back until the United Pesach in the United States has already been over. Because if not, it's a problem. And now when the rabbi goes and he sells the chametz to the guy, he has to say, by the way, there are some people here that don't want their chametz back on Matzah Pesach. And therefore, when I buy it back from right after Pesach in Israel, don't sell me back for those people. Now, if let's say the rabbi didn't make the condition or the fellow didn't make the condition, the bottom line is, halachically, it doesn't become a chametz shabar olam haPesach, is considered prohibited forever, but definitely the chatchila, a person should. If a person is, as we said that already, if a person who lives in the United States goes to Israel for Pesach, and at the time that it becomes Pesach and it's prohibited the derived benefit from chametz in Israel, it's a time it's permitted in the United States. Halacha is he's not that chametz. The United States has to be sold by that point, and he has to make sure his chametz is sold in Eretz Yisrael, or by the time chametz happens in Eretz Yisrael. But someone asked the Rav a following shaila. He had to travel to Israel to be there for Pesach, and he left his family behind. The problem is, if he leaves his family behind in the United States, and he owns the chametz, and it already becomes Pesach in Eretz Yisrael 6-7 hours earlier, his family shouldn't be able to eat that chametz. You're not allowed to derive benefit of it, for sure not mechatchila. So what do? So halacha is that before he travels, he should be makna to them chametz. He should say, any chametz that's in this home, I'm giving for you as a gift. And they could do with it whatever they want. And then let them use it and then sell it at the right time. And this way, they're able to use it. He doesn't violate any prohibition. That's the best thing to do. If, let's say, somebody from the United States finds himself in Eretz Israel and he doesn't know that he was supposed to sell his chametz in Israel and he sold it to a rabbi in the United States, then most poskim would say that, but b'di'evet, halacha is that it's okay. But bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, this is what's one of the beautiful things about chametz, about halacha. That really this halacha, like I said before, did not become a relevant halacha until the last 100 years, probably even less than 200 years. People weren't making trips to the United States and back and forth. But halacha is beautiful because halacha makes, you know, we can find precedent in halacha in many different situations. We conclude with a tefillah, with a prayer, that this particular halacha of people from the United States and going into Israel, people from Israel going to the United States for Pesach, to become a real practical halacha for us very, very soon. Right now it's kind of shut, it's kind of sealed. My son is in Israel right now, and he's not even sure if he's going to come back because he doesn't want to let him back into Eretz Yisrael. It's complex. But Shem should reopen our borders, but more importantly, should take us all back to Eretz Yisrael. Then the Shiloh won't apply anymore, right? And we'll all be living there. We'll all have the same time zone. Then we want Mechira, and then we'll buy it back at the same time. We won't have 8 days of Pesach, only have 7 days of Pesach. And the Jewish people will be united at Universal Front. Wishing you a beautiful evening. Thank you for participating. It's always a pleasure to learn from you.
Thank you. Good night.